golden age of America begins right now.
It's The Weekend with John Potter. I wish I lived in the golden age. 99.1 FM and in Lyon County, 92.3 FM News Talk.
How you doing, guys? Looking good?
Looking good, John. Good to be here.
Go. There he is. He's awake. Dave Burns. They come here an hour earlier just for the coffee.
Good coffee.
I didn't know it was that good here. Dave Burns of Douglas County Republican Central Committee joined with John Crawford. Douglas, I was just talking about that Lincoln Day dinner and what a wonderful thing it is. Folks, don't miss it next year. But we have so much to talk about. We were here sitting during the news counting up how many candidates we have now for District 2. Mark Amadei, are you sure you want to leave? Well, 15 now, 15 candidates on that. But we're going to start with the bigger issue today, and I haven't touched on it all morning, and I should have, the action against Iran. All right, Douglas County Republican Central Committee, what do you say about that?
Well, this is a war that's been waged for over 40 years, as you know. So it's been a one-way aggression for over 40 years, and finally we have the strength in the White House to answer back. So I hope it's a short ordeal. Mm-hmm. I think that's the campaign is designed to be a short ordeal. We know Russia is now in the back room helping Iran, as I'm sure China is too. But hopefully we can accomplish this objective, and I have faith that we will within a month or so and get out of there and see some regime change.
We have a president that doesn't kick it down the road and allow the Iranians, the Iran Republic, develop and perfect long-range nuclear missiles. And who do you think their target's going to be? You, folks.
And unfortunately, we have two senators that voted to take the knees out from underneath our president, and so that begs a lot of questions there as well.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah, you know, I think President Trump is showing the people where he stands. If you really pay attention as he addresses it, he's so calm and everything, and I think that just drives the Democrats right up the wall. Because it's almost like he's accomplishing two things at the same time. One is he's dealing with Iran, and he's putting the Democrats in a position. What are you going to do about it? You haven't done anything. We're going to, and we're going to continue to do that. Cuba, you're next if you don't wake up.
All right. Also, guys, the House vote to, as you put it, this is how you categorize it, the House vote to defend sexual harassers and the use of taxpayer funds to defend them in secret payoffs while pretending to be virtuous, demanding justice on the Epstein files. Wow, what's Douglas County Republicans think of that?
That's our Congress for you. And unfortunately, Nevada went 4-for-4, clean sweep. Voting against H.R. 1100 to support the withholding of that information. Nancy Mace is now subpoenaing that data, hopefully to make it public. But the rationale given for voting against that H.R., that resolution, is because they want to disclose what might be incomplete investigations or accusations and what have you. And that's really going back to the Congress's convenient insulation that they build around themselves to hold them above the law. And so it's really a travesty, and it's taxpayers' money. We deserve and demand the transparency.
Well, travesty is that the Democrats and their friends in the news media are making are telling people that it's the Republicans and Trump who are trying to hide secret things in the Epstein files.
Right. But now we know it's both sides of the aisle.
Well, I wish more people knew that, but the media doesn't get that across. Dave?
Oh, get rid of them.
Okay.
That's the bottom line. I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats or independents. If you can't take your position and take your hold on such things as that and take a stand and say, listen, I mean, the question is, where's the morals here? Where are the morals? I mean, it seems this country is losing the capacity to deal with morals and taking stands, things, and sad. It's sad.
Morals and common sense, guys.
Yep.
Douglas County Republican County Convention. What you got planned? Oh, well, you already had it.
Yeah, we had it on the 28th. Oh. It was a successful convention, and it's we went through and had very constructive editing of the Republican platform for Douglas County. We went through and passed a number of resolutions commending a number of individuals, including Charlie Kirk, Mark Amaday, Settlemyer for past performance, Wes Rice, and commended the folks who redid our office in our headquarters office. Oh. You've been there. You've seen it. It's very nice.
Well, actually, I haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah, you should come by. You should come by. In Minden. Thought you had been there since we remodeled it.
Yeah.
But come by. It's a beautiful office.
We'll even make you a cup of coffee, John.
I love coffee.
And we elected 35 delegates to go to the state convention, which is going to be May 8th and 9th down in Las Vegas at the Silverton Casino Hotel.
Are you going?
I'm going. Yeah.
What are you going to do at the state convention?
Again, it'll be a review of the platform, setting the stage for our candidates, kind of the contract between us and the people, setting the platform for their candidacy and their positions, their policy positions, and legislation needs to be consistent with the platform, as well as resolutions to be brought forward for our elected officials to be beholden to.
I see it again in your talking points. Again, this is a huge concern of yours, I guess, for the 2026 election, overcoming apathy. And so I have to ask you, are you seeing apathy for this year's election, Dave?
Yeah, I think we are, John. That's typical. I've seen some reports from the past. At one point, we were around 95% voter show up. Now we're down around, I think this past one was a presidential, and I think it was only at 78. And usually the midterms, which is coming, is lower than that. What we want to see is let's get back to taking our state back. Let's get back to showing that we're fighting for what is right and what we want as a state. Let's fight for morals and what we believe in, instead of just saying, well, my vote don't count. Yeah, it does. It does.
So what's your process of overcoming apathy for people? How do you do it?
I don't know, other than building a fire under them. I'll let John answer that.
We're going to be out in full force, walking our neighborhoods. We're going to be at the Minden Farmers Market every week with our tent advertising
The
voter registration.
Or which farmers market?
Minden.
Oh, Minden, okay.
We're going to be conducting community classrooms, seminars, if you will, in our headquarters office, trying to get the word out. We have a variety of interactions with our community there for various different type of seminars, from open mic night to candidate visits to you name it. At our monthly meetings, we're having the candidates who wish to stop by. They get 2 minutes to address our committee, and they're taking advantage of that. We have good turnout of our candidates come to our committee meetings once a month to talk to our members, and it's really working out well. We want to make that more prevalent in the interim periods in using our headquarters office.
I'm fascinated how you get them at 2 minutes.
But it's working out really. So it's a matter of engaging with our voters, opening up the doors to our partisans and our independents, building that relationship, not to convert them to Republicans, but to have an exchange of ideas and thoughts, and keep that information rolling to keep the interest level up. And midterms are hard, but this is a midterm that is so significant and so important and such an opportunity for Nevada, that to let it go by would be a really big shame on us for not trying.
this state convention coming up in May, you are working with Clark County to flip the Nevada Senate.
There's
you make it red, huh?
There's three Senate seats.
Is this possible?
Yes. The numbers show that three Senate districts down in Clark County area, Senate District 8, 9, and 12, are very well positioned for an opportunity to flip to red. And if we flip those three and we hold what we have, we'll have a majority in the Senate, and that's a start. And then we have to hold and grow what we have in the Assembly. We have no real great opportunity to take a majority in the Assembly, quite frankly, but we need to hold our ground and possibly grow it. And if we can do that, I think, and hold Governor Lombardo in office, you're going to see a whole new session next time around than what you saw this last time.
Wow, a red Nevada Senate. Wouldn't that be something?
You know, John, the biggest encouragement that I have to the Republicans out there is we believe that, and we have no facts on this, but we believe that it's about 75% of the independents in this state really are lean and vote towards conservatism. And with that in mind, I encourage the Republicans that are strong Republicans, start building the bridges with independents, because there's, honestly, there's the independents is who's going to elect. That's the bottom line.
And if I can add, we just came off the heels of two extraordinarily successful record-setting fundraisers for Douglas County Central Committee. It's our Heritage Barbecue in October and our Lincoln-Reagan dinner that we just had in February. Now it's time for us to get to work. Our objectives are to see a turnout with a number that starts with a 9 and to flip these seats and get the majority in the Senate. Our success is going to be factored on two things, turnout and flip seats. And if we don't perform, shame on us. But we've been anointed with very high-level, excellent support from our community to make this happen. We're going to do everything we can to make that happen.
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, you know, those three county or three voting districts down there that's has Democrats in control of them right now for Senate. They only are in there because maybe of at the most couple hundred votes. So it's very, very tight how they won. And there's one or two of them in there that doesn't have a very good track record right now, and the people are seeing it down there. And so what we want to do is try to get those three areas to flip over to our area and actually put the Republicans back in control in the Senate. So do we think it could happen? Yeah, we think it by a little extra work, we could do it.
We are so battleground. Now, up next, we're going to get into the meat here, folks. This will be something. We're going to be talking about the ballot. Governor, controller, lieutenant governor, AG, secretary of state, treasurer, Congress District 2, everybody signing up, and assembly and Senate and question 7, abortions and voter ID. So we're going to hit on that next. Another segment with the Douglas County Republican Central Committee. John and Dave, I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. And folks, you can call too, 884-9910. FM News Talk, time 11:20.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
All right, gentlemen, I think we have 12 or 13 in the running for governor right now have filed. You know what? Many more candidates talk and say, like Greg Kidd, that they're running for District 2, have not filed yet. So there's more to come. But let's start with governor here. We have, I think it's 12 or 13 people running for the governor or against Lombardo, who is running again. So what's your take on the race?
Well, on the government, actually on the three constitutional offices with incumbents, being the governor, lieutenant governor, and controller, Douglas County Republican Central Committee has already come out publicly with endorsements for Lombardo, Anthony, and Matthews. So as far as we're concerned, that's our focus, to get those individuals elected and make sure they're successful.
Do you think, is there a name here that's a bit of a threat in your mind? I don't really see a major name here that's, well,
from Aaron, a common sense perspective,
Aaron
no.
Ford, of course, will be the opponent there, despite all the names that we have.
That's going to be the default, just because of name recognition and the money flow and the backing, which probably is going to be external to Nevada. But that's the only name that floats to the top. And I personally, from a common sense perspective, I have difficulty seeing that as a serious threat, but it's a threat and we can't take it lightly. And of course, the AG has two, Attorney General has two Republican folks running in the primaries, as does the Secretary of State and Treasurer. Very good Republican field, quite frankly. And so we need to hear them out, vet them out, and let that sort itself out. There, none of those are incumbents, but they're all strong candidates, and we're anxious to have them come in and talk to us about their priorities, policies, and what have you. CD2, the big vacuum got created when Congressman Amade decided to retire, sucked in, 13 individuals. And we owe it to ourselves.
15.
15 now?
Yeah.
Yesterday was 13. Today's 15.
15, yeah.
So it's sucked in a lot of folks, and we can't ignore the pool of folks, and we need to give them an opportunity to have their say. It's still we the people. We get to choose our representative, and key term there is representative, and we have to make sure that we select somebody who's going to represent rural Nevada.
Well, some recognizable names, of course, James Settlemyer, who is not a deep red Republican. He kind of reminds me of like a George Bush type of Republican. Monica J. Stabbert, that is a deep red Republican, very Reagan, very Trump on this list. Do you have any favorites yourself for CD2?
We're not showing any bias or favoritism. I'm anxious to hear from them all on their current take on the state of our state and our rural Nevada, and what they can do to address the specific needs of rural Nevada and where they are. I personally have to go to school on these individuals. I want to hear from them, and I've got a lot of homework to do, and I'm anxious to get that rolling.
We Assembly District and also Senate District, a couple of people there too. All right, we got to win them, right? And school board. And let's go to question six. This is a passionate question. It's back for another vote. It's on abortions in Nevada. Dave?
Well, we weighed in 2024 when this initially came on the ballot. We were opposed to it because of the risk it posed allowing abortions to be in wellness centers, basically, instead of under doctor's care, as well as going up through the ninth month of the term. It contradicts the entire sanctity of life argument. And so we oppose it then. It passed. And if it passes again, it'll go into the Constitution. So we're opposing that again. We want to avoid that from becoming a reality.
Question seven. There's, you know what, a bit of misinformation on question seven. The Democrat friends in the news media are putting up misleading things, I think, leaving people with the impression that they need a real ID now to vote. That's not what question seven is about. It's just simple ID, right. Government ID, and you are registered to vote. It's not, you don't have to get a special ID like people are starting to ask.
Right. You need a real ID to fly.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But you don't need, or to even get your CCW anymore, I believe you need a real ID.
They just can't come up with a reason to vote vote against having ID to vote.
That's typical of the scare tactics designed to undercut a very constitutional requirement to incorporate integrity into our elections.
Well, Aaron Ford, who spent his whole AG term suing President Trump, that's all he's done. This was one of the Trump executive orders that Aaron Ford sued Trump for, and he also sued Trump on an executive order on no guys in women's sports. Two priorities of Aaron Ford running for governor, stop the voter ID and also to let the transvestites play in women's sports.
Yeah, and the voter ID issue. Now, that's another one that passed in 2024.
Right.
And if it passes, and it passed by a huge margin, and if it passes again, it also goes into the Constitution, which is what we're really advocating for. And it's a 80-20 issue. It's both sides of the aisle. It's common sense issue, and which really makes us really struggle why there's any hang up other than politics and dirty shenanigans that's holding up the SAVE Act. So it's one of those 80-20 issues that ought to be automatic slam dunk.
Well, here's one of the problems that I see more and more in the Senate, especially federal wise, but even state. The Senate and the House, you've got two issues here. That one major one is no matter who represents us, they seem to have their personal interest involved in it in some way. And the reason why I say that, we know, I think the last time I heard it was 82% of all residents believe that you should have to have ID.
Yeah.
And here they're arguing against that. Are you representing the people as a congressman or as a senator when you're going against that many people? I say your personal interest, or is it a belief that no matter what the Republicans say, I'm a Democrat and this is what I'm going to say, or the other way around? Stop doing that and start listening to the people and start acting on things. And this is one of them, this very, very thing of who is the proper one to be able to vote. Mm-hmm. Should prove it. If you have to have if we have to have to go to another country and we have to have ID to do that, we have to have a passport. How about we just have a passport to vote? You know, no, we don't need that. We just need a driver's license. This is our identity. We're proving it, and we have to prove it for just about everything out there. Let's stick with that.
All right. Well, I'm curious about how we're going to strategize on open primaries, which we have in Nevada, and a few more of your talking points we didn't get to. So if you guys could hang out for just 5 or 10 more minutes, we'll do a short segment after the news, okay?
Sure. I wouldn't mind voicing something on that school board, too.
Yeah, okay. School board, that's right, Douglas County. You really want to get into that. Right?
I'll give you some information. I'll give people the information.
There you go. All right. We're going to break for Fox News and local news with Greg Neft next on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time around 11:30.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
All right. It's John Crawford and Dave Burns with me, John Potter. These are the Douglas County Republican Central Committee bigwigs. There you go. Open primaries in Nevada. What's the strategy to take advantage of the open primaries? Where, I don't know where to start on this. But
to be clear, Nevada is actually a closed primary state, so you can only participate in the primary of the party of which you're registered.
That's right. I got it back.
There's a motion that Yeager tried to do this last legislative session, is trying to open up the primaries, and they're trying it again. I don't know that there's actually an initiative or a significant drive in process yet to bring that back to the ballot, but they're not going to give up. Their attempt is to open up, much like California has, the jungle primaries.
Are you guys in favor of that?
No. Party should select their own candidates.
Yes, because there is sabotage.
Right.
You know, a Democrat will vote in a Republican primary just to set up a lame candidate for us.
Yeah, well, being a Republican, I'd still vote for Ford. He's the lead in there for them to represent because I know his background. 25% of this time is all he spends in Nevada. He travels all over the world.
I would just like him to tackle a Nevada issue that needs the AG's help instead of suing Trump. How many times did he sue Trump? 48 times. I mean, oh, he says our office can handle it. Well, that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of staff hours and everything like that. That should be devoted to local issues.
Yeah. You know? Well, thank God he's termed out. Let's be careful who we replace him with.
All right, let's go. Let's see here. Douglas County School Board. What's the latest? Well, the Douglas County School District has cut its deficit from $4.5 to $2 million. Wow. Dave, they cut the deficit by more than half there.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if that number really lines up.
Didn't they
properly
do that in part by just shuffling the deck and shoving some of the funding requirements to another pot of money?
I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't sure. You're closer to the action there.
You know, yeah, there's a lot of history in that, and it goes back quite a ways. And the reason why everything got changed around new superintendent and everything is because when you see things that aren't quite right, John, and you start checking into it and you start doing investigations and you're looking and you're shining the flashlight around and you're seeing the mice and you put this flashlight on, they scatter. It's kind of what happened here. They the ones that finding out, they're realizing that the truth is going to come out, and that's what's happened. So now, 12-year decline in proficiency scores. Douglas County used to be the lighthouse, literally the lighthouse of this state when it comes to schools. And now they, oh, we were number one. No, you're not number one. And I had the proof of that before on it. But here's the fact is, 12 years of a steady decline in proficiency scores. And in that 12 years, you never once turn it up. We have a new superintendent in there. He's been here, well, this would be his second year. But the first year of being as the superintendent, he turned it up. It's turning up now. And if you think it turned up from last year, you're going to see even more this year. But now we're talking about the financing. Mm-hmm. They better get behind him. The state, this guy's amazing, Mr. Alvarado, and he has got the state now. He has given them, in front of them, this is what I want to do, and the state says, we'll go with that. Right. We will let you run it. But if anybody messes that up, mm-hmm, we're coming in, and it's going to be a 10-year moratorium on them.
See, folks, Dave Burns used to be on the Douglas County School Board. And what he says about that school board and what's happened to it sounds identical to the stuff I say about Channel 2, which I used to be at. The truth is going to come out. You're not number one. You're on a 12-year decline. Dave, this is all the stuff I say about Channel 2.
Yep.
We were in the trenches. Okay.
Well, I tell people, though, John, I want to say this, and then I'll stop.
Okay.
The truth is this. Since Mr. Alvarado's in there,
yeah,
go to the site. Go to Douglas County's website and get all the records are in there. Everything is public record. You can go in there. He has everything documented from years past. Everything in there, you will actually see the truth and the numbers of what transpired,
yeah,
and the change that's coming. I give him credit for that.
All right, but we got to be skeptical when they say they reduced their deficit from 4.5 million to 2 million. I think skeptical is a good word for that. What's up next, guys? Oh, you're
well, one thing that's related to the schools. I want to step back slightly a little bit, but very related to the schools in a major way, is this whole initiative, Governor Lombardo's initiative for protecting women's sports. I'm going to be in a phone call later this afternoon with Governor Lombardo's team, and they're rolling out this initiative now. The signature campaign is going to be hitting the ground full force in the next couple of days. Keep your eyes and ears open for that, because you're going to be asked to sign this petition to get this initiative on the ballot for November. And we think it's going to be an easy do, but it's going to take time, a lot of signatures to collect. So we'll be knocking on doors, getting signatures.
I know you will. Folks, you can join in. Go to douglasnvgop.org. You're also on XDCNV Republicans. John and Dave, thanks for coming out. We'll see you again next month. Good luck to the candidates and our mission to do what we can for the elections this year. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:45.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
The FM new News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
John Potter here. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. Did you know you can bet on the Iran war now? Who wins? How long the war will go? It's not the casinos. It's not online gaming. It's these what they call prediction markets. And people are betting on who's going to win this war and all these other things, the battles and all that. Prediction markets, I think it's a huge threat to Nevada gaming. It's a topic for another day. But as you'll see on Drudge, you can bet on the war now. I never thought I would see a day. Haven't mentioned the Iranian war. Be happy to take your calls on that, 884-9910. What's your take? Me, I'm feeling a little sad for our Democrat friends. Apparently, you know, they were pretty close with this Ayatollah guy, and his demise last Saturday seems to have left them pretty brokenhearted and undeniably pissed off. Poor Jackie Rosen and Catherine Cortez Masto, they're fit to be tied. And you got Susie Lee and Stephen Horsford down there in Southern Nevada, and AOC and Senator Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, all those ones who like to go on TV. And there have been Democrats very emphatically condemning what's going on over in Iran, which must be good for the attitude and the morale of our fighting soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines. They're over there risking their lives, pursuing what I think they probably believe are very important goals, only to have those goals crapped on and the mission ridiculed by the leadership of the Democratic Party down there in Washington, D.C. It seems like if you're a Democrat in a state like ours, especially if you're running for an office and you want to get your face on TV somehow to condemn this illegal war, it's like it's 1968 and they got their love beads on and they're waiting at the San Francisco airport to spit on their troops coming home from Vietnam. You know, it's a weird kind of deal. But somehow the Democratic Party is deeply emotionally invested, I think, in the Islamic Republic over there. And so as that Islamic Republic is being taken apart by the brave and noble men and women of the United States and Israeli armed forces, again, they're just all broken up about this. As for me, I woke up last Saturday morning a week ago, and I saw and I thought, this is a great thing. And then I turned on the TV and the Democrats told me that how this was a horrible thing. And again, the only thing I can come up to explain their action is they must have been really emotionally close to this Ayatollah fella and are just bummed out about him being dead. But I have hated Iran for a long time. The reason being, when I was a young man in my early 20s, that's when the Islamic Revolution took place. And I remember when they took those hostages, I was furious. And I remember going to my radio DJ job here in Reno wearing an Iran sucks t-shirt. And actually, that was one of my more eloquent t-shirts. Those mullahs are all beards and no brains. But that's when Iran got into the terrorism business. That's when they got in the business of shouting death to America. And, you know, it's a funny thing. In France, they've got a slogan. It's Vive la France. which is French talk for something good about their country. The French slogan is a celebration of their country, you know, some positive thing about their love for their country. Iran has a slogan that it shouts all the time, but unlike France, it's not a love for their own country. It's a hate for somebody else's country. And that somebody else is you. Death to America, from 1979 to literally today, has been the rallying cry of the Islamic Republic over there in Iran. They get up every morning, the ones in charge, if there are any left, motivated by their hatred for people like you. And as demonstrated by decades of experience, their keen desire is to kill people like you. And, you know, for whatever reason, finally standing up to that nation and knocking its block off has left the Democrats very upset by all of that. To the Democrats, I would say you must have a pretty short memory or a high tolerance for the spilling of American blood, because Iran has been an enemy of this nation and of the people and the women of this nation's armed forces for as long as I've been an adult. We didn't start this war. Iran started the war. And what's different is, on last Saturday morning early, we decided we were at long last going to finish this war, and we're going to take it to him. But from 1979 to the present, they have done violence against America, against our interest, against our people, against innocent people. And the phrase that we, I guess, have stopped listening to and stop truly comprehending, but this phrase that they are the world's leading sponsor of terrorism, state sponsor of terrorism, is absolutely true. And they have killed hundreds of thousands of people through terrorist activities directly and indirectly for almost 50 years. Back to here in the U.S., the Democrats this week on Wednesday, the U.S. Senate voted on whether to block the president from using further military force against Iran. Well, the Senate did not have the votes needed to pass this war powers resolution. Who voted to protect the mullahs and continue their brutal repressing and killing of women, gays, Christians, and protesters by the tens of thousands? Nevada's own senators, Catherine Cortez Masto and Jackie Rosen, voted yes, voted to stop the attacks on the repression in Iran and terrorism that they sponsor against America's interests. The resolution would have required debate and a vote in Congress before additional U.S. military engagement in Iran. Cortez Masto argued that Congress must play, quote, its role in matters of war and peace, warning against what she described as executive overreach. In other words, push it down the road so Iran can get to work on those nuclear missiles to attack the U.S., attack you and me. Our action is changing the world and making it safer. And Thursday, though, we saw another similar vote in the House, and that failed too. Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen blasted the Trump administration, saying it, quote, has not sufficiently outlined its objectives. Catherine Cortez Masto this week called it a, quote, war with no clear objective, end game, or exit plan. Kamala Harris said, this is a war that the American people do not want. And if there's anybody who knows what the public doesn't want, it's Kamala Harris. But how does this make our brave soldiers feel? Jackie Rosen said Wednesday, the U.S. Constitution is clear that only Congress has the authority to declare war. They're not even correct on the U.S. Constitution. The president has limited war powers, and their vote was pointless, divisive, and it undermines our men and women who are in harm's way. It's the same old story. If Trump does it, the Democrats have to shout out. They hate it. They protest, scream, fight, to any righteous cause. So, yeah, this war thing seems to be occupying a lot of my thoughts and thinking. And, you know, on the evening news, they tell you in a story, well, Trump isn't saying why he went to war and what's our reason. What's this all about? And I suffer from no such confusion. I know exactly what this war is about, and I support that effort. I'll just capsulize why I believe it's necessary in one sentence. Do we want to wait another 5-10 years until Iran has finished developing nuclear weapons, missiles to fall on the U.S. in New York City? We are a target too, you and me. There's nearby Fallon Air Force Base, the Hawthorne, Nevada ammunition storage, Creech Air Force Base just south of us in Indian Springs. We have several military installations around us in Northern California, Las Vegas. Well, there's a Nellis near Las Vegas. Vegas was included on the list as potential targets. The most populated area near the Nevada National Security Site in Mercury, one of the top spots where nuclear bombs would most likely fall in the U.S. And yeah, think of it, Fallon nearby. I hear the music, though. I gotta go. Which is a good thing. I got too much to say about that. I'm John Potter. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll join you again next Saturday right here, 9 to noon. Craig in Carson City, thank you so much. Very interesting talking about your online doctor. It was fascinating. Have a great weekend, folks. Talk to you later. News is next.